Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My queen is in the building. Hello, my queen.
It's the way you said it.
Hello,
for me.
My queen. Brown sugar.
Don't
extraordinaire. How are you?
I'm beautiful, thank you.
Oh, you're successful, beautiful, elegant, everything. Welcome to Talk a Moment, finally.
Thank you. They finally am here.
Yes.
Hey, I got you something. I came bearing gifts.
You're literally the only person who's been on this couch that brought me a gift. All the wenches I've interviewed this season. Oh, you crazy people. You guys had me talking for over an hour. And you could not even give me water. Inieru came in here and she brought me gifts. This is your brand.
Yeah, that's my brand.
I can't wait to open it up.
And I bought you this. There's a sunscreen, there's a lip balm, there's a mud mask, you know.
Isn't it funny that that's half of our conversation all the time about beauty stuff. Inie and I are not talking about lip gloss, we're talking about shoes, bags.
Oh no, we talk about business too, talks. Don't make it look like we're just... We're not materialistic girls. We talk about business. We talk about growth, industry, women. How can we be better women? We do talk about all those things.
We do.
It's just that we talk about the other ones a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think that we're both beauty girls is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
like, we really like beauty products. You know,
yes,
we can
we
go
do.
On and on about this
yes.
scrub you tried
on. We love
on.
Ourselves.
Do you remember when we were in India? Oh my God. This year has been quite a crazy year for you and I.
I know, right?
We've traveled for this project.
Oh, are we supposed to talk about the project? Okay. Are we supposed to talk about the...
No,
but your skin was really popping on that trip.
Thank
I think you just came back from like a whole thing. I don't know what you did, but girl, I was looking at your skin like this.
I think I was just in one lovely relationship. That was
What's you? So where's the relationship? What happened?
It don't break. It don't scatter.
Now, wow.
Another Christmas.
Another Christmas.
No pajama wearing.
Oh.
Are you wearing pajamas with someone this Christmas?
I don't have anyone to wear pajamas with.
Your
I
daughter.
May just wear it with my daughter.
Yeah.
I was talking about it with my sister the other day. I said, should we go and buy red pajamas?
Oh, but you know that.
And she was laughing. I said, yeah, because I want to take a picture of my child, but you know. Girl, I'm not really one that is really big on these kind of things, but I'm trying. I'm just too busy thinking about other things. But then I think I want to do a photo shoot for the Christmas.
Yeah.
I should. We'll wear Christmas hats and wear... it's just...
No, but are you really maternal? Do you think like, you know, there are women who are mothers, but they're not as maternal as other women? Because some people are like, motherhood is like everything to them. And there are people who have mastered the art of, I'm a mother... I'm also a wife or a boss babe or this or that. Do you think that you're maternal?
I think that even before I had my baby, I was quite maternal because, I mean, all my life I've been looking after people who are not even like my kids. I've always had people that I'm looking after, that I'm directly taking care of. So I think I even have a bit more motherly nature that feel makes people around me, like, for instance, my staff, feel maybe I'm over-mothering. Because I treat everybody like they're my children. Mm. They're like, you know, for me, like, domestically, if you work in my house, if I cannot consider you a part of the family, then you can hardly survive working with me. Because, you know, the same way I'll treat my child, the same way I want to treat you. I want to tell you when you've messed up, I want to call you out on it. I want to tell you off, scream, do whatever I want to do. When you do well, I'm organizing parties for, like, I'm literally just really celebrating. So I think, like, I've always had a motherly nature.
Mm.
So now with my child, I am motherly, but I'm also the boss lady. I'm also the breadwinner. I'm also the hustler. I'm also the entrepreneur. So, I mean, but I find time. I don't feel like I do as much as I should do.
Mm.
I was just talking to my baby's teacher today because it was the closed school yesterday. So I called her today to just, you know, have a review, and I saw her report card just to see how what she thinks about her improvement and her growth in school. And so, you know, I was, you know, just having a conversation with her, and I said, well, I may have missed one or two messages you had sent to me. Okay, she should wear this for today. She should wear this for, just forgive me. Sometimes I'm in over my head, you know, so I'm not like, I'm not one of those people who have the privilege of inspecting what their child is wearing to school today, what she's wearing tomorrow, because sometimes I'm not around because of what I do. But what I try to do is, it's in my head. So I'm constantly just, from wherever I am, out of the country, just trying to monitor things. And I do feel bad that I should give it much more of my time.
I think they call it mom's guilt or something. They say that there's something called mom's guilt, where mothers just feel guilty for feeling like they're not doing enough. And I think every woman feels like that, just not you.
Really?
I think I hear that. I'm not a mother, but I hear people say, that's why they always say things like, there's no rule book to being a good mom. Everyone's just winging it.
Right. Everyone's just winging it.
So I think, you know, for the shift that has happened in your life, because motherhood,
it's delicious. Yeah. Okay. I swear it's, I know you, I know that you can't wait to have your own kids. And I know that you would be a bit too like this with your child. You'll be almost too, maybe everyone, you'll be carrying her around that everywhere. Oh no. Because Tucker, you're a passionate person.
Okay.
You know, you're a passionate person. So I understand. I know that somebody like you want to carry her literally everywhere you're going. But you see, my own is that, first of all, I don't want to give her that exposure.
Yeah.
One, two is I also don't want, I want her to also have that independent mind, you know. Like, I just left the house and she started crying. Do you get? You know, these are the kind of things I'm trying to, because just so that I can also go with a good heart. Like, you know, because when you cry when I leave the house, and I'm thinking about you all the way, and I'm thinking, am I, you know, should I just go back? You know, but I have to work. I have to bring the bread. So, so that attachment. I mean, you would be a fantastic mom.
Thank you.
I can't even wait.
Do you know, I remember in India, we were on this project, and every single second she got, she talked about her daughter so much that I couldn't wait to have you here to ask you, do you ever think about life before her and feel like you should have done this earlier?
Okay, I promise you, I do. Like, I always say to people, I said, the meaning of my name is God's time. That's the meaning of my name. I really am somebody who believes in the right time and at the right time. When it's God's time. I don't believe in jumping the gun. I believe in taking life step by step. But I still feel that I should have done this way before now.
Really?
I promise you. In fact, the fact that I did it alone has even given me a more... It's even what worries, what sort of triggers me the most, in the sense that I feel like if I could do this, why did I just do it all the while? Why did I have to? What was I waiting for?
What were you waiting for?
I was waiting for the right person. I wanted to. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to do it with a man. I wanted. I used to be my father. I am my father's favorite. It's just that he's older now, so you know. But then, I mean, growing up, I was like my father's pet, sort of. So I really, for me, a father figure in a child's life, especially a female child, was so important. You know, because my relationship with my dad was so enviable, even by my mom. Everybody literally just felt like he favored me over everybody else. You know, that's what I wanted to be able to have. So, I mean, I just wish that if I knew that it would, I mean, nobody knows tomorrow. We really don't know what life is, what card life will play us, play at all, you know. But if I knew, I would have done it. I would have had like three by now.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely respect and doff my hat off. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or if I've told you. And if I haven't, I'll give you your flowers now. Being a single mother is not easy. And, you know, in this conversation, you've said it twice about being also the breadwinner, taking care of family, taking care of people you've always had to raise, and then bringing a child to the world alone. Were there times, you know, that you, were you scared before you delved into? And then you also did something that a lot of people are now opening up to.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? What was going through your mind in terms of, you know, why did you, how did you decide that this is how you are going to bring a child to the world?
It's okay. It wasn't a decision that I just said, oh, no, I'm going to go on and do this. I just knew that I wanted to have a child.
Mm.
And it wasn't just happening the way that I wanted it to happen. So that was an option that was open to me. So I had the conversation. How did I feel carrying all those people that I'm carrying and then wanting to? I just knew that God would see me through. I didn't know what to expect or how it turned out or how the world would perceive it. And at some point, I wasn't bothered about that. I was only scared. What really bothered me at that time was, would I be able to love her as much as if I carried her?
Mm-hmm.
Would she be an okay baby? Would she be beyond an okay baby? Like, I had those reservations and those concerns that bothered me.
Mm.
So, but then, you know, with a lot of course, conversations, research, and just going to meet the professionals and having conversations and weighing my options and just really reading up on it, I realized that there was absolutely no difference.
Mm. Wow.
It's not a lot of difference. The only difference, it's not a lot of difference. Mm. It's your bile, it's your blood, it's your... That's everything, child. Like, we go to do DNA now, our blood group, I mean, everything is literally the same.
So. I think what people used to, well, watching the Kardashians, because I'm a huge fan, guys.
I don't think anybody needs you to tell them that.
I think when I watched Khloe talk about the fact that she had one child naturally and the second was surrogacy, she struggled a little bit with connecting. Mm-hmm. And I respect the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. I feel like they get so much shit. Like, people talk about them, say the worst things about them, but they normalize things that people shy away from talking about. For instance, being on national TV and admitting to the fact that you didn't feel the initial bonding with your child because you didn't carry that child, I think it's brave.
Mm-hmm.
People, we live in a world where people glamorize this motherhood thing, and everyone, even saying how you feel as a mother some days, people will judge you and think, hey, but who forced you? Do you know what I mean? It's okay to let people say, I'm tired. Yep. I don't want to feel like being a mom. So I've heard cases where people have said, you know, there was a bit of a... But then that's because they've also carried a child naturally
before. So maybe that's why your case was... I wouldn't lie to you, when she came, I wasn't... Not like I didn't feel a connection, but I was scared.
Mm.
I couldn't bathe her. I couldn't hold her. Like, I could hold her, but, you know, I couldn't sleep with her on the same bed because I couldn't sleep myself because... I would feel like maybe I would... Because she was so little. She was so small. So... You know, it was strange, I wouldn't lie, when she came. It's not like I just fell in love and I'm like, oh, this one, that. No. But I knew that I will get into it. Oh, yeah. I knew that I would grow into it. First of all, I knew that it was the blessing that I've wanted. I had already thought about the fact that this might be a situation. So I think that consciousness of understanding that, okay, you need to build the bond.
Mm.
You need to be intentional about it and build a bond. The minute they start to open their eyes and start to, you know, she starts to smile, then she starts to, I have goosebumps, like, literally, can you see
it? Just talking about it. Yeah.
So the minute she just starts to really become, you realize that this is really a human being and this is your blood, you will just naturally start to ease into it. I don't think that it happened. I wouldn't say it happened automatically.
Mm.
And she just comes and say, oh, I'm a mother. I have to do that. Nah. I eased myself into it. At first, it was scary. I was afraid.
Mm.
But the good thing is I brought my mom. I brought my family. So everybody was around, rallying around, bathing her, doing this. I'm just looking at her like, oh, God, she's so little. But now, with my long nails, I'm washing everywhere.
You let on the job.
I'm washing everywhere. Ah, brushing her teeth. Oh, she's talking to me. Ah, mommy, where are you going? Say my picky. Ah, hey.
You've actually given me the courage because you know that this year, a lot of times I've been talking about the fact that, you know, just like you, I've been feeling like real legacy. I've always wanted to be a mom. So this is not to pressure anyone out there who does not want motherhood. Like, this is not for, it's not a conversation where we're trying to sway you. This was a huge milestone for you because I also like the fact that you did not hide how she came to be because you're a huge celebrity and, you know, just you're always talked about. You've been talked about from when you started acting, the divorce, different relationships,
hey. Girl. Tell me about it.
Girl. And then you chose to be open about this.
Okay, I'm the kind of person I am. I like to be real with myself. I'm as original as it comes in the sense that I'm not trying for anybody to like me or to say good things about me. I'm just living my life. I really operate by my spirit, my conscience, what my gut tells me. You know, because the truth is, our faces are all different. So our destinies are also different. No two persons can have similar path in life or the same path in life. Mm. Everybody's path in life is different. I'm also a very grateful person in the sense that if somebody else is having it easy, God gets married, has a beautiful family, has kids, I don't look at myself and feel like, oh, my own is not the same. Why is my own different? Because God has also blessed me in different ways. Do you understand? I also don't feel like you just said something, there's some people out there that may not want to have kids. I don't also feel like some people, I've seen people who've come through life and never had kids. And they have children, but they just have never birthed them. Mm-hmm. But they have grown children who are taking care of them now in their old ages. And their relationships and bonds are stronger than even some people that birthed this, who have children that they birthed. Mm-hmm. So I've experienced life. I've seen people. I'm a very open-minded person. And as such, I believe in just saying things the way they are. I feel like people are ungrateful when they say, why me? Why is it happening to me? Why not you? Mm. What about the other person that just died, that Muto killed? Why are you better than that person? You know, people are dealing with different things. So the fact that this is how I did mine, I'm not embarrassed by it. Mm. I'm not ashamed to talk about it. Because if I have, you don't know what I've been through trying to have kids by myself. So if it doesn't, I say to people, even my siblings, even my family, people who struggle to have kids, I say, don't go and die because you want to born. Like, I've seen people go through 15 IVFs. And then they put to bed, eventually they die. They don't stay alive to take care of that child. Now, everybody has a right to pursue life the way
they want to.
But I'm just saying that I take life as it comes. I don't put too much pressure on myself. I don't allow people's expectations to overwhelm me. Because
have you always been this well-grounded? Because, you know, it's have you always had this strong self of sense?
I think, no, I maybe not. Sense I think
of
the
self.
Sense of self. This podcast will destroy this country. Podcast has split this country into four different places. This your English is part of the
By the way, when I invited Ini, that was the first thing she said, wow, podcast has scattered IT.
I'm tired of podcasts. I don't know what the problem is in the country again. If it's bad economy or if it is podcasts, it's just two major problems we are facing: economy and podcasts. Anyway, yeah.
It's a strong sense of self.
Don't kill me.
That was a moment.
Yeah.
I laughed, but I'm hot.
So you're hot. Oh Jesus!
Yes, I
think that I've also learned.
Yeah,
I've also learned. You know, life will humble you. Mm. Life will make you have a thick skin. Mm. You'll realize that at the end of the day, you're for yourself alone. Mm. Like, if you're not doing it for yourself, nobody could do it for you. And people just generally will always have their own opinions, irrespective of what you do. But the focus on myself is something I've grown into. I don't think that I've always been like that. I think that coming into spotlight at a very young age, having all that exposure, being the target of bad press, has also thickened me in a way, and you know, sort of, you know, toughened me up a bit to understand that, look, just keep your eyes on the ball.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what they think, just as long as you can sleep well at night and know that you're not hurting anyone and you're not offending anybody and you're not going against the law and you're not doing anything that is detrimental to who you are, I'm good.
Mm. What's the worst thing you've ever heard about yourself?
Oh, God.
Which one? You know, there's some that will say we have thick skin, and there's some that will literally just have you saying,
you know, I don't like to talk about those things because it's like you give life back to something that has passed.
Mm.
And I don't like to give life to things that...
Let's talk about even the recent one.
The most ridiculous one was the one that happened with some guy that I'd never met before that just claimed that it was all over the news.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 that, that you sent your
past. Don't go into this. That was so weird. I was, you know, I couldn't. That was so weird. Like, I couldn't control myself. I was shaking. I was like this because I'm like, wait, what? Dude, I've never even. My two eyes has not like. Hey, CBC Trump. In the end, they will just find a way to squeeze your name inside the gist so that the gist will be sweet, salt, and pepper. But I mean, that's one of it. I've heard so many crazy things about me. Okay.
I mean, it's just because you mentioned the thick skin and bad press, because I know that as a woman in this country, for you to. It's not just us in the entertainment industry. We have people who work in offices and different, you know, who also deal with people always constantly trying to explain why they are where they are. And when they can't necessarily understand the grace that is on someone's life, they tend to just peddle all sorts of things. I'm sure most women who have risen to the top of their career, whatever it is, have had to fight tooth and nail to get there. And which is why I always feel strongly about, you know, women putting pressure on other women as well, because it's difficult enough as it is. Do you know what I mean? How have you been able to deal with, you know, being in the ghetto?
Okay. Like I said, babes, I just, like I said, I just do me.
Yeah.
I literally just do me. You talked about women and how difficult it is for women to get to where they are, and how, you know, how the society itself doesn't, it makes it difficult for, and then women are still the same people tearing each other down. It's one of the most unfortunate things that we have to deal with. I don't think that the society was wired to give women opportunities to really explore or really just, you know, reach certain aspirations or,
you know. We were made for certain paths.
Exactly. You know, I think, yeah. So I think women have revolted, or they have sort of decided, said, look, no, we are not just going to be in the kitchen. We want to be successful in whatever thing we want to do. We want to go out and actually, you know, dream and actually go after our dreams and just make it become a reality. Women have decided to go out for what they really want. And, you know, they're strong competitors. And what the world doesn't understand is that when women put their minds to doing something, trust me, there's hardly a way that they can, you can hold them back.
And we can multitask.
We can multitask. We're very resilient. You know what I mean? So it's hard. So now women have woken up to say, no, we are not going to be backbenchers. We know we realize our worth, and we're going to keep pushing until we get a seat at the table, until we have our voices heard, until we are, you know, inducted into parliament, into political positions, into, you know, economic, just the world generally. And we can see that with all the, you know, high-flying women that we know. So society would itself is still trying to fight us back, to still diminish us and still push us back to, oh, your place is in the kitchen and blah, blah. And when fellow women are doing the same thing to fellow women, it's like you're holding yourself down. It's like you're holding yourself down. Because if you look at a fellow man who is doing well and you look at her like an inspiration, as opposed to looking at her like a competition or like, why should it be her? What about you looking at her like, wow, if this woman can do this, if Mwabudu can do this, every time Mwabudu posts something of her conquest, her milestones, Chioma Odeh, all these people, I'm like, that is, those are the kind of women I want to be. Those are the kind of people I want to look up to. Those are the kind of, I want to go to their posts and see, what are they doing? What is new? It's inspiring. Just because I don't want to be a backbencher. I don't want to be, you know, I know what I'm made of. I know what I'm capable of. So those are the inspirations that we, people like you and I, have found that has motivated us into what we're trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's constant. We keep building. Nobody knows what you're going to bring to me. I'm, as you are now, tomorrow now, I'm sure you tear another one. Everybody, like, hey, tear must come. She has gone for world economic. They have gone for this. She has gone.
But I,
you,
yo,
that COP28 though,
girl,
you. But did you, how did it go though? Did you get into the conversations? Did you join the panels?
Yeah, everything I wanted to do, everything I set out to do with it, I accomplished. I was just shocked. And I think because Dubai is 3 hours ahead. So
you woke up to see.
No, the, I didn't really, really feel it because I'm going to bed.
Yeah, like, the time
it's
difference.
Late and I'm just seeing all this. And then I think for me, it started to feel serious when important people started calling me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And that for me was funny because I walked into this hotel in Dubai where we had like a lot of like, you know, important people and all of them had seen it and they all started calling me item 7 and it was funny. We all just laughed. It was so funny. Do you know what I mean? Because they're like, how are you? And I'm just like, do these people even know that I don't even give a fuck? First to start with, you know, you trying to be like, oh, I think there was a lady I met from an African country. She was there, not Nigeria, but an African country. Mm-hmm. She was there to actually have an interview with another president of another country who was, you know, in that hotel. And when she saw me, she was, oh my gosh, she was so happy to see me. And then she said, oh, how are you doing? And I didn't know that's what she was talking about. So I was like, I'm fine. And she's like, no, you know, the conversations from, because if you search COP28, it was one of the things that people from.
I think it trended even more than the event.
It's
crazy. Even if that's why you were there, just for the just to give it that much spotlight. I mean,
thanks to me, everyone started talking about COP28.
I mean, even
y'all
if that's
owe me
even
a huge thank you. These people just.
I don't know what they think that you will not understand what climate change is, or even if you don't know it, at least you want to be involved in the conversation. At least you, because guess what? At the end of the day, we need to all be inclusive in this world that we're living in. It's not anybody's. It's not allocated to a particular set of people.
Yeah.
Even if you don't get to go to places like that, at least get it on this, you know, read the news, listen to, have your own opinions and just, you know.
And even if I didn't know, as you said, I can ask, what if that's where I went to?
Exactly.
What if I went because I wanted to know what climate
change was about?
Yeah, but it's part of what you were just mentioning now, how people are constantly always trying to tag you as one thing. And they get so used to you as what they've tagged you that when you show them another level of your greatness, it's met with fear. And when there's fear, it's not open arms. It's like people, when they're afraid of something, they're closed up to it. So you're always going to get that whole thing of, oh, what does she think she's doing? Or what does she think? You had one of the BS movies this year.
Girl, it is the most watched movie out of Africa on Netflix. The second most watched movie out of Africa. Drum roll.
Well done, well done.
Give
me
some flowers.
Well done, well done. Let me tell you one thing I can't get out of my head. The scene with you on RMD.
That scene.
How hard was it to film
that scene?
Because you walked like that just happened to me.
That scene happened to me.
In real life?
No, it happened to me there.
There, because I was like, oh, in real life?
No, you see the way everybody's opening their mouth? No, not literally. But like, it was hard
to film. The acting was 100%.
It was hard to film. We filmed that. In fact, we shot that scene from about 9 p.m. till about 7 a.m. in the morning. And I remember I lost it twice on that scene. Like, you know when you were so exhausted that you can't anymore, even when it's your own project, you're like, I'm tired.
I'm drained.
I'm done. The people that you brought in to do the work are not telling you, people that you're supposed to be begging, say, I know Vex, I know I've, you know, you guys are tired, but please just give me some more time. And I'm the ones telling you, calm down.
You have to do it again.
It was very graphic. It was really intense.
I had to shoot like a sex scene recently and yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it wasn't just a sex scene. It was beating. It was dying. It was crying. It was yelling. It was, you know, all
and
kinds
of... You had
anal
sex with your character in there.
Yeah. And it was... We didn't name, not with me, with my character, yes.
That's it. That's your character.
Yes, it's in the character, Inem. She's Inem. Call her by her name.
Good name. Okay.
She's not here. She's not here.
You know what shocked me? When she said, it happened to me, really? I thought, girl, are you freaking like that?
I think that kind of situation, I'd literally kill the person. That's the kind of thing that I know that you will not walk away alive, except I die first.
Well, some people enjoy it, though. Not the beating part, but like the backdoor part. Some people do.
To each his own.
I will do anything for love. But I won't do that.
To each his own. People are crazy with what they like.
Yeah.
The things I hear these days that people like, I'm like, okay, it's like, perhaps they created some people with some different parts of it. It's not the same thing they used to mold all of us. Because I'm not judging, but I just cannot understand it. I mean, I don't even want to think of it. It's so gory to me that I'm like, I'm eating. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. And then you had to act that part over and over. And so it took you hours to get that scene. Why was it so long?
Because it's a very, you know, it's not a static scene.
Yeah.
It's a lot of movement.
Yeah.
And then we're shooting with two cameras. And then the place is not so big.
Mm.
So they have to get the angles right, the mood, the everything, you know. So you have to keep doing it. You know, and then the director also is a perfectionist.
Mm.
So he had to... You know, at the time when you're filming, you bring in somebody to do something and you say you want the best.
Mm.
But when the person is trying to get the best, you're like, it's so much. But eventually it was worth it.
You know why I like Shantytown? You know, we local content is what the world is consuming right now.
Mm.
I'm super, super proud of the feat that Nollywood has achieved. But usually when you hear local content, you know... Context and content, half the time, the most popular languages that are put out there is either Yoruba, Igbo, the vernacular. You brought light on Akwa Ibom people.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to hear you guys speak.
Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it was a breath of fresh air that it wasn't Hausa, it wasn't
Igbo. And it wasn't Yoruba.
Yoruba is the easiest for every movie to do because it's like, oh, Igbo. Because it's like, okay, just have one characterize an Igbo name and you speak one Igbo language. But it was nice to see you guys converse in your local dialects and shine the light on that. I'm sure a lot of Akwa Ibom people were really, really excited about that.
Process. I hope they are. They better be.
And then the way it ended, there's definitely going to be a second part or series, right?
Well, we'll see.
Ooh, you see? I always guess right.
We'll see.
The way she said, we'll see, kind of just lets you know
we'll
that.
You see, the language angle was, I mean, I have always tried to shine light on my community, on my state. Because I think that's one of the sweetest and most put together states out of this country. It's just very underrated, or maybe not really doesn't have so much spotlight on because it's not the three major tribes that we know. But in every ramification, Akwa Ibom is such a beautiful place. The way the people, the food, you know, the infrastructure itself, it has developed a lot in the past 8 years, you know. So, and then the people, the talent there. And, I mean, we have some very fantastic talents from Akwa Ibom. In the entertainment industry, we just don't have, as you know, you could say, okay, you can count how many Akwa Ibom people are successful, but the ones that are successful are really successful. Moses Ewang is Akwa Ibom, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I just always find a way to, whenever I have an opportunity to just, because originally those characters were not supposed to be Akwa Ibom. They were written as, I think, Delta. Either Delta or Yoruba or something. Mm. It was not from Akwa Ibom, I can't remember. So when we got on set and I was just looking, I said, what about we change these names? And thankfully, Lince was on the set, who's also from my place. So we're like, what about I discussed with my partners and they were like, wow, why not?
Mm.
So we quickly changed the names and... No, we started using. And it was really, so it really made it easy. Because even when I tried to go back to English, she'd be like, come back here, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking the language.
Even when she spoke English, she had the dialect.
Yeah, she has an accent.
She had the accent. Sorry, that's the word. She had the accent.
She had the accent.
Yeah. You know, it was actually very beautiful to see the stellar cast, to see the movement. I mean, that was one of the movies, Chidi Mokeme's re-emergence, if I can say re.
Yeah.
And it sparked this whole conversation online about how old Nollywood is always better than new Nollywood. And people are always saying, these old guys are better. Acting, movement. You just can't separate. You just have to give it to them. This, you know, the new bread of people are just not as... Do you agree? Or are you one of those people that feels there's no old, there's no new?
I don't like to. Well, even in as much as you want to say there's no old, there's no new, you can't take away the fact that there are guys who were there before and they're the newer guys. So there's old, there's new. It's not just old Nollywood. It's just there are older actors who've been there before and there are younger generation actors. I think that the older guys have way, they have the experience. And most times they take up the challenge. You see what I mean? Because it's not just jumping from one set to the other. You take up a script and it's a challenge for you because you have the time to, you can take out time and go find that character, which is like what Chidi and I did in this case. It's not like another actor would not have delivered Scar, but it may not just have had that much depth. But why did it have as much depth as it had? Chidi took that script and went back to America and did rejigged his entire way of living to, you know, to sort of resonate with that character, Scar. From going back to Sue Larry days, you know, digging into, it's changing the kind of music he was listening to, you know, he did a whole lot of work submerging himself into that character. So it can't be the same with somebody who's just coming off a set and is jumping on another set. And just, do you understand what I mean? You wouldn't have the same depth.
And that's how it's done in Hollywood too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like some of those actors have years.
Yes, to prepare. That's how it's, you know, we don't do that a lot here because most times, most of us are really busy. So you're jumping from one place to the other. So you barely have time to prepare for a character. But that was in the past. Now that Nollywood has evolved this much, you cannot afford to do that anymore because you are on a global platform, so you want to put your best foot forward. So even if you have to get to do like 3-4 jobs a year, you should be good with that.
You focus
that's my So if I have like 2-3 major projects in a year and I put my everything into it, I can afford to have time and go do other things so that I can prepare for these characters. Because if you're hopping from one set to the other when even you it's happened to me, it's happened to the best of us. When you're watching those films, sometimes you're like, okay, you can see where you could have done better. You'll be like, oh, this should have done this, like, oh, I should have, but you just realize that, oh yeah, you just needed to put in extra work into it, you know. And our whole film system also doesn't really allow that time because the producers are also on your neck.
And
the budget as well.
Because, you know, these people have big budgets abroad. Iron Man, all these movies, they have ridiculous budgets.
Right.
So they can film for 2 years or film for one and a half
years. Filming for 2 years. They pay you for one job. You don't want another. You don't need another job for the year. You don't even need the job. You just take, first of all, they'll give you 1 year to go and prepare yourself. So you're good for like literally two, because of the budget. But can you tell that we are almost there?
I definitely feel that. And I agree with what you said to a certain degree, because I feel like you guys also had the rugged training. Because you came into Nollywood and you were one of the faces that changed Nollywood. The emergence of Iniedu. Every movie, then people will watch the movie because Iniedu is in it. You know, if I tell you almost all the movies of yours that I've watched from when I was in university.
Really?
Oh my God. You had that eye thing going. Yeah. Iniedu was always the one that you just, you know. So I feel like that was what it was like then. Because you had 51 in your career where you were in shooting movies in three days, four days. And it was still good. I also think because of the hunger for local content, a lot of people who are foreign trained still lack the localness and the adaptability. I might be wrong, but I feel like that's also one of the reasons why when you bring somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, they've adapted. They've shot 6 movies in 6 days. So they kind of, do you understand? They know the local spice and what to do.
Yeah, it's all about characterization and embodying a character. And local content is very important because you see like why we were doing those kind of films we used to do then. Those were the films that laid the foundation of what we're seeing today. And what has given us the attention that we now enjoy today globally is because Nollywood tells our local stories. See, our content about the rich is at this. It's not just like Korean content, but because it's very original and it's strange to the rest of the world.
People are curious.
But it is so rich in culture. Our culture is so rich. Like, you cannot explore. If you decide to explore all the stories of Nigeria, you can't explore it in. People don't finish their own day. They do fiction and sci-fi and all of those. Is that, you know what I mean? It's not about creativity, imagination. Originality is what we have. And we can never exhaust it. So if for instance, you're given a role that you're supposed to play a look, for instance, Scar's character, and you know that there are people that are like this, but they are not in VGC, they're not in Banana Island. They are in those places, Ukukum, all those places. I don't know those places. Let me know. But they are there. So what do you do?
Yeah.
You find those, find yourself around that area. Like when I did Worlds Apart, which was my first breakout film, we shot, first of all, it's okay, since we're not talking about Worlds Apart, let me just go straight to what I needed to talk about. When I got into the start set, it, the story was too big. I didn't think I could do it because at that time I hadn't done anything that big. So when we got to the set, we were in a farm, in a farmland, farm neighborhood. Those people don't live, they like build settlements. It's like farm settlements. That's where we shot that film. I'd never been to like a farm settlement. I go to the farm with my grannies then. But like I never saw people living in on farms. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that was the character that I was supposed to play. So I had to, so I'd leave everybody where they were and go into the community, the farmlands, so just sit with them. When everybody was joining and they're playing all the stars, I was just there, just trying to be like them, reason like them, think like them. Like, how is this, how do you even survive here? Or what is the mentality of these kinds of people? They see cars on the road, they're excited. They see bike, they're excited. You see children running after the bike, running after, you know? If I didn't do that, I wouldn't have that sort of, I wouldn't be able to resonate with that character like that. Yeah. Because you have to, you have to literally kill yourself or keep it aside and step into somebody else's shoes completely.
Do you have any regrets? If you look at your life so far, I mean, you're still very young, but you've lived such a wealthy life.
I'm young. Everybody say that.
You are young. I mean, how old are you possibly? You are very young.
It's okay. I'm tired of people telling me, oh, I used to watch you when I was a child. I'm looking at this man.
But that's not them aging you. That's to attest to the legend that you are.
Thank you, baby.
Do you know what it feels like for someone to be able to say to you that you made me go into what I'm doing right now? I watched you when I was in. You're a legend. Oh, thank and I you. Hope you do. You do think like that.
I do think like that. It's just that sometimes I like to hear.
I would report to you. Somebody walked up to Niedu at an event and said, "You look nice." She said, "I know." What do you remember? You remember that night?
I remember that.
I said, "You taught me another one." I was shocked. She told me, she goes, "No, but it's a statement of fact, okay? But I know." I said, "Ini, you're just supposed to say thank you." She goes, "But I know." Like,
I said, confirmed. "Thank you" to the person. I said, "I know, thank you."
Remember how we sat? And one person came to see again. Why you did I love? You're so beautiful or something. And he just goes, "I know, thank you." Ah, I say, yeah.
But I'm not into myself like that too.
No, but that was a saucy.
It wasn't saucy. It was just like, the way the person said it is, said, "Oh, you look so beautiful." I say, "I know, thank you."
I even saying it now. It's like, but I won't lie, I've been saying this since that day.
Because
I've been adopted.
Let me tell you.
To men, when they say, "Oh my God, you look so stunning," I'm like, "I know, thanks."
Do you know who did that thing that I call, that taught me? Shoma Ude. She would kill me.
She's quite spicy, yeah.
She does that. She would kill me, Mama. I'm sorry. She was like, "Come on, Mama, you look so gorgeous. I know, right?" She would flip her.
I'm like, okay.
And I see.
So, yeah, she does it. She's like, "I know, right?" Like, she takes compliments so gracefully. And I'm like, I need to love myself like this. Like, I don't have to wait for somebody to tell me I look good. I fucking look good.
No, I learned since that day. I've been saying it. I have to be honest with you. But it, and I'm like, "I know, right?" You look, "I know, right?" was what she said.
I said, yes, I said, "I know, right?"
I remember. I even told Ebuka, I was like,
Yes, you told Ebuka. You told Ebuka it was
because someone's literally giving you a compliment. She's like, "I know, right?" And I said, "Okay."
Oh, but that day I looked really good.
No, you did. You see why I said the things we talk about? We can be on the phone and talk about how your shoes were so nice last night and the earrings and this. I would literally hear. But then you see, you're as I was saying to you, you're still very young. And you know, do you look back and feel I could have done this better, or I could have? Do you live in? Is there any regrets you have?
To be honest, no, I don't really have regrets because I've lived, I've made mistakes. Mistakes, you only learn from mistakes. I feel like people need to allow people to make their mistakes so they can learn from them. No regrets whatsoever. I just I just have learned lessons. I'm just grateful that I didn't make any mistake that took my life. Mm. At least I'm still here. So what I do now is, what doesn't kill me make me stronger. So I know that that was a mistake. But it's playing a part in my life. Because if you learn something, you wouldn't make that same mistake again.
Mm. Unless so, you are kind
except you're really, really foolish. Mm. But if you're not really, really foolish, if they buy you once, buy you twice, you receive sense. because now, like, for instance, some guys will tell you, there's one word somebody said to me recently. I'm tough. Mm. I'm like, well, life has made me tough. I did use it. It was a baby girl, very soft. Everybody can fling your head. You can't fling my head again. Mm. It's just what it is.
I feel like when women are also as successful, I don't know what your dating history has been like, but I find out that Damson Idris wrote something online a couple, I think it was last week that I resonated with. Mm. He was talking about men trying to humble women who are just out there trying to do their own thing. And I resonated with it so much because I feel like I've had a couple of those experiences where you would think that when you meet a successful person, you should be inspired by her journey. But it's almost like they get combative, not even physically, but even with the way they think. They're always constantly trying to think you're going to say this, so they say that's fair. So think you're going to... My strength has now almost become like a burden mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be strong all the time. Mm-hmm. I also want somebody to take the lead. I also want to be, as you said, but I realized that almost that's letting go of that control sometimes mm-hmm. when they wire you, as you said.
It's very sad. You know, we live in a world where you want to beat a child and expect her not to cry. You know, like what I feel is that, first of all, I feel like some people are threatened by women's strength. Mm. Some men might be threatened by women's strength because when we can really come off as we are doing too much because, first of all, you're a woman, you're beautiful, you're here, you're there. Naturally, I feel like men want to see you just not be so overtly successful just so they can pull you around and you can be the woman, you can cook for me, you can clean for me, you can do all the basic things that we have grown up to know that is expected of women. Mm. So when you get too strong or too powerful, it's almost like you're competing with their ego or with their, you know, whatever it is that makes them masculine, you know. But the truth is, like I always say, I like to be the queen. I'm not a woman that is looking to subdue any man or looking to ride over any man. I don't even like the idea no matter how successful I get, I don't think that I want to have a man that I'm lording over. Mm. Then what's the beauty of it? I mean, the beauty of it is in me being, my man is walking in front and I'm holding his hand and I'm walking at the, and, you know, beside him, he gives me a seat, sit down. Somebody cannot talk to me anyhow in this room because my man is standing by the side. You can't find my trouble because at the end of the day, I don't have the energy to fight you. He can go fight my fights for me. You know what I mean? Like all those kind of things, irrespective of how wealthy or how successful you are. But it's just hard to find men that can understand that. The fact that I am this big, it has nothing to do with your position as the head. Mm. That's where God has created you. That is my understanding. I come from a very traditional background. Mm. So this is my own opinion. It may be different from what anybody else thinks. Mm. But this is my upbringing. This is my own. This is how I see life. Mm. I see life like a man is designed to be the head of the home, to be the one who takes care of the family. Mm-hmm. Who protects the family?
The bishop.
That's it, you know. So that year, they respect people for the papa. Do you understand? When my own growing up days, they would not talk to your mother anyhow. So when you see women that get beaten or get talked down on, they start to cry, oh, because my husband has died. Oh, because I'm not my... You know, all those kind of things.
Because men were the custodians. Men
were supposed to be protective of the women and of the family in general.
But it don't happen for this generation.
That's why, you know, I said something that was taken out of context the other time about feminism and understanding my context of, context of that. And the fact that I feel like now I see so many people, women, who are just downright disrespectful, you know, and.
But, you know, sometimes I feel like I mean, I might sound crazy, but sometimes I feel like a lot of people are that way because they've had to fight so hard. You know what I mean?
That one saved you.
Girl,
that one saved
you. You can be there just loving someone and, you know, being the most patient and
so, okay, my point is, maybe this is why I'm still single. I can't be in a toxic relationship if you cannot give me that protective energy that allows me to respect you. I cannot be with a man that I don't respect. I cannot be with a man that I don't respect. If you cannot earn my respect, then we cannot be together because what's the point?
What's the point?
When it gets to a point where I start to disrespect you, that means you have brought yourself down to a point where I begin to talk back at you or I begin to disrespect you. Even if you don't have, sometimes it's not even about having money. It's in about just how you're able to love and manage the situation, manage the people around you.
Kindness.
I think that's what is missing. We don't really have
kind. I think is missing in this generation. We now are so comfortable valuing things and using people when we should be using things
and valuing people.
People are ready to fumble people. They don't want to fumble the bag, but they will fumble people, not knowing the bag can come and go. But that person
is the thing you've lost. That's the value. People don't get it. It's crazy. I don't think these conversations will ever really just break free and just everything will just be all right eventually. I think that it will just be everybody different opinion. People choosing to see things in a certain light, in a different color, in different colors. But primarily for me, I still stand on my ground where I say that I still believe that as a man, you should be able to command respect.
So why do you think you're still single? Because, girl, you are so stunning, but to start with, you're successful.
Girl, I don't know why I'm single. I'm single because I just want somebody that would just really love me. Just that's all. I'm not asking for too much.
You don't see love.
No, I don't.
You see plenty.
That's
why you're looking for plenty.
Babe, that's the thing. So loving somebody and being, you know, they're two different things. You can love someone and but you're not ready to be a committed person. Do you understand what I mean?
So do you think like you've had a lot of great stories, wrong time?
I've met a lot of amazing people in my life. I've met quite a number of amazing people in my life. Just sometimes there are different things that occurs. Perhaps you're too strong-headed or you're too ambitious for them. Or maybe it's always something that just doesn't, you know, just doesn't make you guys compatible. You know, but then again, that person is there. You would find somebody who's just aligning with your ideologies, that is not listening to public perception. Because public perception to people like us is sometimes also really brings up the issues.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people, you know, people carry all these lies and rumors and some people literally, even if they don't believe it,
their friends.
Yeah. Oh, this one. Oh, that one. So every day they're gibbering in your ear. They're telling you the same thing. Meanwhile, you know this person and you know that's not true.
You see. Now, you know, you've actually answered I think maybe that's also one of the issues because people tend to then have this preconceived notion of who they think you are and deal with you with that preconceived notion and not necessarily who you are. So, for instance, a guy can be hearing, Inedo, she's such a party. Ah, before you can talk to this one, you must have almost 500 billion. See how she does this. So, by the time they come to you,
man, I'm hot.
That attitude, you know what I mean?
Already
that's
there.
What I mean. They're humbling. They try to humble you.
Yes.
Because they've already come thinking,
Tucker, it's so crazy. That's why I also say to women, I said, just focus on building yourself. Because you cannot also cut short your life because of what people are thinking. Because of what people are thinking, or because of that, you can't move forward because you don't want to be too successful to a point they think that everything you have is a man that has given to you. It's just really, I feel like just focus on yourself and build yourself. Eventually, it will come. If it doesn't come, love yourself and keep it moving. Because I've met so many guys that be like, wow. In fact, I even heard it today. I cannot believe you're this like this. I cannot believe you're like this.
Can I tell you how my own day happened? When they tell me, I cannot believe you're this nice. That's the end of the relationship. The moment I hear a guy say, wow, I can't believe you're this humble. They take me for granted instantly. They men love that bitch. They want to be with that person they read about. You know when they have this fantasy about you and they now meet you and they realize that, oh, she's actually a really cool girl. It's almost like, okay,
And I'm like, I can be that person and I can also be this,
person.
It's a choice. If I'm choosing to deal with you in this manner, it's not room for you to sit back and then think that, oh, what's the hype? After all, she's just chilled.
Mm-mm. It's okay, last, nobody can change me. Nobody can change me, last. As I am like this, I know what is good, I know what is bad. Mm. I know right from wrong. Mm. Do you get? And like I always say, I work by my conscience. I know what is good for me, I know what is bad. Nobody can change me. So if you will still come to me. If you, for instance, even if you're just my guest, I want to serve you. It's just me and how they raised me. Mm. It's not because I'm trying to impress you.
Mm.
Do you get? Most times you come, I'm in my house. I can count how many times. But people, you know, there's that notion that, oh, you should. Look, I don't give 10. I don't give a flying hood. If you want the wild ones, is there in this direction? Whatever you want, just look for them.
I think that's also the problem. If you want this, go for this. Don't
go, come and be. Don't be confused. Yes, don't come. You come for me and then you want me to be this person. No, dude, that's not how it works.
Yeah. But are you open to getting married again?
Oh, honey, 100%.
You would do it again?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
If and only I find somebody that we are compatible.
Mm.
Compatibility means that we accept each other for who we are. We get to know each other for what we really are, not what public is perceiving us to be.
Because
that has been my headache. And I'm tired and I don't want... I'm not ready to prove any point to anybody again. If you think that's how I am, bye. If you really want to know the real me, then let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
But if you want to come with me, oh, I heard you're this person. So why are you here?
Mm.
Keep it moving.
Mm.
Be thinking with them.
Mm.
Do you get?
Even the Shalaya self. If Percy asked me, that's the last time I'll respond. The moment you ask me, I heard. And I think people, they fear me, though. Men, I give it to you guys, some of you guys that try to deal with me. They know they ask me such.
No, they're not good.
I've never had a man even try to question me about my past. Shout out to all the guys. They're not fit to come. Talk to in the group chat. How you want to ask me? I first look, you say, my brother. You see, they ask. I beg, join them.
I tried to date somebody who was like reiterating this person. So let's just at
the point. Well, sometimes
I even have to call to people, like just putting people out because I was just like trying to prove that no,
I didn't date this person.
It's not. Yes, this is just conversation. This is just some people just speak, and eventually, apparently, he realized that all those things were fallacies, were lies, but he couldn't convince his own family people. So he fought them. He got tired of fighting them.
No, but God, I personally thank you. God has been good to
me. But guess what, sis? It cannot happen again. That's why I said that. That was then.
Yeah.
It can't happen again. It can't. No, those are like, you know, sometimes I keep saying that I'm not trying to prove any point anymore to anybody.
Whatever you hear, take it.
That's it.
What are your pet peeves? What's the, like, you know, what are the things? What's a deal breaker to you? Not necessarily in relationships, just in general. What are
I just don't like. I don't like evil people. Okay.
Everybody is evil.
Everybody's not
Everybody
evil.
Everybody has it. We choose.
No.
To do the right thing.
No. Okay, let me tell you something.
The Bible says wickedness is in the heart of man.
I know, but well, okay, let me tell you. I'm not wicked. Let me tell you what wicked is. Some people are outright mean and unpleasant.
Mm.
You sit here like this, we have this conversation finished. You stand up with it, say, she knows, I mean, I know she don't know. I don't even see herself. Like, I'm experiencing this in my life. Like, I'm seeing people. People can switch before your eyes and you're like, whoa. You start tapping yourself. Is it? I don't they mad? So it's just what it is.
The reason why I said everyone is wicked, I'll explain. And I'm not making excuses for people. I honestly think that we need to start labeling, and I'm going to say this to the world as well, labeling friendships for what they are, one. Meeting people where they are at.
Exactly.
And it's learned very important. From experience.
Yes, yes.
You see, when you start labeling people that this one, friendship, when we say we know they reach each other house. Mm-hmm. Our friendship just now
sticks,
bus stop.
No, expect too much loyalty.
Expecting, do you understand? Because if you put yourself beside a snake, it will bite you.
Yeah.
Do you get?
You're right.
Meeting people where they are is also understanding that even that person that is facing death sentence has family members that love him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think everybody has an amount of evil in them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We choose. People, the way you are brought up, we are brought up in love. That's why you can reflect love.
Mm-hmm.
People are brought up on survival.
Mm-hmm.
When they are, you have to almost you're take a right, leap in their
you're
book.
You're very correct, yeah.
To understand, and that's when I start having peace. Mm. So when you spot someone that is brought up on survival and you're brought up in love, that friendship can't work.
Can't work, yes. Because the person is looking at ways to...
What they can
everything
get.
Everything is what they can
everything
get.
Everything is competition. Jesus. Everything is... So once you see that kind of attitude, there's no need to fight people
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, just move.
Just leave the group, the group chat the group immediately. Yeah.
We are learning every day, baby.
Yes, and I, it took me learning to get here because my heart was always very open and I believed in... where everybody has to be good. But I realized that we're all raised differently.
Yes,
you were raised in a home where, as you said, respect, you know, tradition, you put held on to those things. You meet somebody that they kick their parents to say good morning. How do you expect that person and you
to
understand?
Be on the same this is so 100%. I mean, I think that this is caps it all. It's a sad reality of life.
Yeah,
and you know that and you know peace.
Yeah.
So you know, not over expectations, no over, you know.
This person doesn't they're just not capable of being, they're just not capable. And then once I realize it that way and I stop putting pressure on myself to also be capable for them, we're good.
You're good. Trust me. If I'm not taking anything from this conversation, I've taken all of these things you just said. It's because I'm just a situation that it's just reality. It's just because when you do that, you get less disappointment. You get less.
And it's a painful reality, but it is
yeah,
what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's actually the truth.
It also helped me in relationships for so long.
Even in business relationships.
Yeah. Even in personal relationships, for me, just sharing this with the world, for so long, I would have expectations because of how I am with the person. Mm-hmm. And I'll think, because I'm a good person to you, why will you pay me back wrongly?
Oh, girl, sis, I am so sick of this shit.
You know what I realized when I spun it in my head to meet them where they are at and not call a cow
a goat?
I had peace. And then I realized that not every relationship is going to take me to where
the
I
next level.
If I'm dating you just for food, I'll date you just for good food. How about that? Let's not have conversations about travel because you are for food. If I'm dating you because of money, let's not talk about love. Let's talk about cash. Yes. If I'm dating you for love, bring all the love, baby.
You're killing me.
I'm different things to different people.
Whoa.
Is that not how you find peace?
But that's a sad reality.
Because after a breakup, you're not writing long epistles. You promise.
Because you break up. So that way you're not even, babes, it's hard. It's not the way it was supposed to be. But that's our reality. That's our reality. It's just what it is. It's just okay. I mean, everybody will be fine, last.
This has been such an awesome conversation. Of course, I've got to ask you about 2024. Mm-hmm. I do know, even if you say, just wait and see. I know we're getting either a part two or a series. I know, one of the two, because of the way that movie ended. There's something that is
That's why they call it series.
Oh, you just answered it.
No, I'm just saying that is series means that it can be, it can stop here, it can go further. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
That's what
true,
I'm saying.
True. So what are your plans?
2024 is looking so beautiful, baby girl.
Do you feel that question sometimes comes with a lot of pressure? And people ask me
it
that
does.
Sometimes.
It actually does, because it's like, I don't want to start spilling what 2024 is bringing.
Yeah.
I want to, because I'm also, you know, I'm also anxious to see how it unfolds. Mm. So I don't want to start talking about it already when things are still in the works.
Yeah. You know, but I do hope and I pray you have a beautiful 2024.
I will have a beautiful
soul. You are.
I'm crying.
You are.
Thank you.
I hope that all your heart desires comes to pass, because you're an amazing person. And, you know, I love the fact that you are such a legend, but you also look after the people who are coming behind. Mm-hmm. You're always looking after, giving opportunities here and there where you can collaborate. It's such a beautiful thing, regardless of how much hurt you've seen in your life, to still have this outlook that the world is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Don't lose it, girl.
Thank you, Toke.
Don't lose it. I think that's
Thank you so
you
much.
Are.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That's very,
You're
very
welcome,
big of you to say. Thank
queen.
You. Thank you so much.
And I love
this was
open.
Really interesting.
Yeah, you see, I told
you. It wasn't like the you know how it is. They're not gonna cut the one they say she says. That's not the one that'll be changing. People should drop me in my junction. No, my house is here.
It's not like those podcasts where you do it's controversial. We don't really do that over here. We have in-depth conversations. Half of, and let me tell you why, because half of my audience are not even from here.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, you know, people who are watching from London, from other African countries, mm-hmm. and, you know, this has just given them...
I just told you that I watched one of your shows in South Africa.
Yeah, you did.
Girl, you're doing amazing things. Thank you. I don't care about what anybody else thinks. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you. I like your drive. I like your spirit. I like that you keep going no matter how much they try to pull you down. Girl, I've been on that street. I've been on that street all my life. They have been trying to tear me down every step I take. It's either what is one talk or the other, but I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere.
Amazing. Thank you so much for giving that back.
Thank you.
So hopefully you also find the man of your dreams in 2024. I want to come to a wedding. I want to come to a wedding that has a beautiful story.
Yeah.
I miss that.
I really like love though. Yeah. I love a love story. But babe, at the end of the day, we work so hard. We work so hard. You just want a genuine person, a genuine person.
It's hard to find that in the street.
And then if it's not there, it's okay. Keep it moving.
Love yourself.
I love yourself. And now I have a child and I can't even love her enough, safe. So it's like there's just not even enough space.
Do you think motherhood changed you?
I think it just makes me more grounded and more love myself more for her sake. Because I have to keep myself in a place where I can be alive, be healthy, to give her the life that she needs. It also puts me on my toes a lot to know that I cannot lie down and be sleeping and thinking, okay, the one in my account is enough for me. What about her?
That's very deep.
Yep.
Thank you for leaving us with that nugget. It's amazing. So this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your time and thank you for stopping by Talk a Moment. I can't wait to see all the beautiful things happen in 2024. Until then, keep remaining brown sugar. How do you get that name, brown sugar?
I'd look at the sugar now. It's brown. Everything's brown. Yeah. I love the name Brown Sugar. Somebody gave me the name, actually. I'm not going to say who, but he just looked at me and said, wow.
Are you still with the person?
No.
So does the person get to have a cut if you...
The person wasn't even... we were dating.
You know, you had a smile on your face when you said, somebody gave me the name. Wow. You see, this is what always happens when you're trying to be coy and then your face lets it out already.
I'm telling you. No, we were not dating, but it's somebody that I liked. You know what I mean? Like we had
a
good...
crush. I didn't ask you, do you have a crush on anyone?
A crush on anyone?
I haven't had a crush in a long time.
I haven't had a crush in a long time too.
I miss that feeling. I want to like somebody, just like.
You know, I have somebody that I like. I just like. Like I like.
But are you with the person?
I don't understand.
If you're with a person, there's no longer like a crush. I mean, like someone who you just...
No, I can't just see someone just be crushing like that.
You
no,
don't?
No.
There's some people that I see and I'm just like...
Ooh. I used to when I was growing up, but you realize that this is when you... Eventually, when you get to see the person, the crush is just going... Most times, it's always like that, so...
You're right. They say never know your heroes.
Nah.
That's why, because when you get to know them, you're
exactly. I've had those experiences.
So there's someone that you like...
I like people. I like
no.
People.
You just
I like,
said
I like all these fine said, say, people here.
There's someone that you like.
I don't understand.
Well,
what
you
you're
said that 2 seconds ago. You said I have someone that I like.
No, you said if I had a crush,
and he said I have someone that I like.
But it's not crush. It's just I like the person.
Are you guys together?
But I just told you that I'm single.
So is it a situationship? Those situationships saying that them be bad fast, my sister. Don't you just hate those situationships where you're having relationship problems or you're not in a relationship? Kill me now. Where you can be mad at the person you have to tell your siblings to say, this is how I'm feeling because if I wreck too much, you'll be like, why are you wrecking?
Why are you wrecking? Exactly. You see what I mean?
Reject the situation. Please stay away from me. I want to be mad. I want to show you that I'm crazy.
You can't show you're crazy like that.
Because I'm
you
like,
look
well,
weird.
Okay,
like,
yay.
What's going on here?
But you're not my girlfriend. Fuck off.
No, but I can't be with you if I'm not your girlfriend. So what am I doing with you?
You know, there are people that it just happened, not necessarily like, I don't want to date the person. Oh, you're right. So why am I even...
What are we doing?
She just gave me therapy. So you never date anyone if you're not the person's girlfriend?
But that's the problem. What am I then doing with you,
though? Maybe we have a connection.
And doing what? Okay, we're just going to go do lunch, do dinner, go for drinks. Or we just do stuff. Then you now go back to your main babe. I don't want that.
Oh my God.
You know, when you were younger,
when you're young, when we're younger, perhaps one or two things that you know I may have done, but that I can never. I'm grown now, like I'm a full grown woman. Like I said, I don't regret stuff, but I know that there are things I've done that I would never do again. Mm. That my God has, my spirit and my body and my life and everything has told me that look, that's it. You can't do that. Yeah. That's not the life. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You're an adult.
So
now.
I'm an adult, girl. Yeah. I'm too grown for shit.
I think I'm even too old for the term girlfriend or boyfriend.
You see what I mean? So even if you're telling me girlfriend, let's understand the scope of the girlfriendism.
But is that not what's going on in Lagos? Everybody's dating everybody. Everybody say we're together. We're all together. We're all lying to ourselves.
That's why I'm not you people's Lagos team. Like people are doing in Lagos.
We're all frying dough for ourselves. So I miss you, baby. I miss you too.
It's like it's communal dating, eh?
My sister, the connection is deep,
bruh. Mm.
My white man, this next year, I'm going to focus on right now because I don't tire.
See, but obviously, are we going to? Because that's.
Well, you think that that's who I should
be? Okay. What? I don't. Are you really? What are you? Where are you looking? Are you looking here?
No, but the problem with. I don't really like white people because.
What are you talking about? No, white people. There's different, so many kinds
of. No, I'm too Raz. Like people who are in relationships with white guys, like I admire them. Like I see all these TikToks, life of they're sophisticated. Me, see how we don't knock broken now. Mm. I cannot speak English for too long. My head will start hurting me. Mm-hmm. I like to speak Yoruba. So,
but you go shock say one of those people would like your this babes. So the thing is, I like to be open to trying. I have never tried it, but I am open to trying it.
You see what I mean? Even find me
I used to think I would never be able to do it because I feel like, you know, there's this thing we feel about them, the skin and stuff like that. But as you get older, you realize that you can't put yourself in a box.
Do you know how intense I am in a relationship? I'm so intense that I want to be with someone that I don't have to talk. We look at each other and we know what we're thinking.
It's okay, me, I'm more intense. So.
But
why they will now think that there's something that's inside. There's nothing inside. It's that I'm very intense as well. I'm very, that's why I'm like, it's either working
or
it is not true. Working.
Mm. All right. So on that note, we've spoken
past the time. Well, we'll cut it into three episodes.
Ooh, would they love that? Christmas plans before you go?
Girl, I'm hanging with you. You're my Christmas plan.
Girl, that's what I love. We're going to paint the town red. We got each other.
Dirty December, baby.
There's no man, we got each other. So Merry Christmas, guys. I think we can officially say that because, this is Christmas. So happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And if you guys are not wearing pajamas with anyone, and you don't have loved ones, just put on Talking Moments and watch Ine and I just make your day. I'm sure you guys laughed. These people would have laughed because this, I laughed doing
it. It was funny.
Because you're
it was
funny.
Very interesting. Am I
didn't realize how funny. Girl.
Oh, really?
Wow. Wow. You're hilarious.
I just know that I'm just.
She said okay. Podcast is the problem, Nigeria.
Podcast. You will destroy this country. Wait and see. Wait, just wait. You will see something.
I'll chat with you guys right before the new year. Love you. My name is Toke Makinwa. Keep watching Toke Moments. Mwah.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.